This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
B&E on a Friday, busy and a lot to do. Longhorn hoops, impressive last night. They are into the semifinals of the Big 12 tournament. Defense continues to be the staple. Carried that Kansas defense they played last Saturday right into game one of the Big 12 tournament. Did it without Timmy Allen. We'll get you details here from Rodney Terry. Also, Texas women open up play in their women's tournament today. Pro day over at UT, the pro timing day. All 32 teams had representatives there to watch nine Longhorns work out. No Bijan Robinson, though. He was there. Just wasn't working out. Everyone else.
Rooting on his teammates.
I was surprised to see Roshan Johnson didn't attempt to run the 40 again. He was happy with his 4.58 from the combine and did all the other workouts. And told you that he's already had an individual meeting with the Cowboys. Who, as we told you yesterday, if you're looking for the Cowboys, everybody will talk about who they're going to pick with their number one pick. If you're paying attention, then you got to find out who the Cowboys are going to draft in the fourth round. Because the Cowboys have now placed their franchise player tag on their fourth-round pick four straight years, four straight off seasons. It was Dak Prescott twice, then Dalton Schultz, and now Tony Pollard, all drafted in the fourth round. So that's about where Roshan Johnson is projected. Wouldn't you love to see the Cowboys grab
Absolutely.
Him in the fourth round and let him come in and replace Zeke Elliott as a hard-nosed running back alongside Tony Pollard? That'd be nice to see.
I can't wait till today to tell my daughter how that island green at number 17 at Sawgrass wouldn't bother me. It's that one.
Were you going to call her and tell her that?
Yeah, I'll let her know. She'll say, no, Dad, you're going in the water five straight times.
Is that the only reason you're going to call her? Is it to tell her that island green wouldn't
bother
me?
Yeah, no, that's the only reason
I'm
going to
call. Hey, you know who was picked in the fourth round last year for the Cowboys?
Who?
My guy, Jake Ferguson.
Jake? Oh, there you go. Hey,
maybe a few years down the line.
Jake, the Hall of Famer Ferguson. Yes.
Dirt Ferguson, no. I mean,
Come on.
It's because of the Saturday Night Live skits. What I think about every time he says Jake Ferguson, I think Dirt Ferguson.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I saw a guy making an 11 yesterday, E.
Oh, man. On that green?
No, not that green. It was somebody tell me, was it the par 5 or the par 4 where the water's to the left and they just try to hook it around? He just hooked it. Dead hook, three times into the water. I mean, he didn't make – I think he was 8 when he made landfall. I mean, that was
– And he played it out for you all you hackers out there. Don't just put your triple bogey max. Go
hey,
ahead and play
on,
it
keep
out.
Keep the pace of play going.
You should pick it up.
If a professional
– Right? This shouldn't he just tell the caddy, we're going from here to the car. We're going to save on some money at the hotel. We're not going to be here for the weekend. Let's just keep moving. He
By the way, can I say
out.
That I'm making my way through the Netflix series Full Swing, the PGA Tour behind the scenes series. It's really good. And I made it through episode 4 now, which is the first episode was all about Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth, essentially, mm-hmm. and then Justin winning his first major at the PGA Championship last year. Then it was about Brooks Koepka and Scottie Scheffler were essentially the focuses there, and Brooks's fall and Scottie Scheffler's rise. And then they did a full episode really on Ian Poulter, Poltergeist, including him tearing up ACC's locker room after losing at the Dell match play, which was pretty good. And just throwing, and he was off to the LIV tour. And the last episode, number 4, was about Joel Damon. The big hat. It was a really great episode. I mean, if you watch one, you'll enjoy it because it tells the plight of just an average golfer. Who, you know, his mother died when he was a teenager, and it really threw him for a loop. And he had to battle testicular cancer at a young age as well. And it's an amazing.
And he's still out there too.
Well, and he, you know, people who know him say he should be a top 25 kind of player, but he doesn't believe in himself. It's really incredible. Like, he's a really good golfer. He just has no confidence. He has no belief that he should be considered among the Rory McIlroys and Scottie Schefflers of the world. It's pretty funny. But he and his caddy are like best buddies since they're kids, and it's pretty good. To your point of, let's just go get in the car. His caddy would say that. His caddy would look at him and go,
hey, let's go.
You want somebody else to carry your bag the rest of the way? You suck.
You're sucking today. I mean, it's three a really, in it's the a, water, man.
It's a really
it
good
awful
episode.
Awful to watch.
It's a really good
now,
episode.
Now, I've had a 12. I wanted to count a hole one time. I wanted to count, but I was struggling. I said, I really want to count this. I'm playing this out. I don't care pace of play. I'm playing out. I got a 12. So I was waiting for this guy to get just a dozen. Give me a dozen.
Made you feel 11. Good about yourself a little bit?
Made me feel terrible for him.
Come on, man. All right, let's get to your headlines, trending topics, get you in the know as you're up and out on a Friday morning. UBO Business Services presents it and brings it to you. College basketball, impressive win for the 7th-ranked Longhorns last night at the Big 12 tournament. They advanced to the semifinals with a 61-47 smothering of 7th-seeded Oklahoma State. Longhorns will meet TCU tonight in KC. Longhorns were locked in defensively the whole game. It's already really from the start. 5 Longhorns scored in double figures. Jabari Rice led them with 15. Dylan DeSue posted a triple-double with 11 points and 11 rebounds. In the third win over Oklahoma State this season, it's the 12th quadrant one win as defined by the quad system, which is the most by any team in the country other than Kansas. Likely secures for most experts a number 2 overall national seed for the Horns when the brackets are finalized on Sunday. First things first, the Horns will play TCU tonight in a semifinal matchup. 6-seeded Horn Frogs upset K-State last night 80-67. Behind 22 for Mike Miles. Top-seeded Kansas will face Iowa State in the other semi at 6 o'clock tonight. Horns and Horn Frogs at 8:30. You'll hear it live here on The Horn. One other note from there, Kansas will not have their basketball coach Bill Self for that game tonight or the remainder of the Big 12 tournament. He is out for what the program has called a standard health issue. Top assistant Norm Roberts is stepping in his place. Top-seeded Texas women will open play in the Big 12 women's tournament this afternoon, 1:30, facing K-State. You can hear that game over on 105.3 The Bat. We'll get into UT Football Pro Day, which happened yesterday at the bubble. All 32 NFL teams were represented, and 10 Longhorns went through the workouts. We'll get you details coming up. Also, on the 40 acres this weekend, how about the baseball team? Going to open up a 3-game series with Manhattan tonight at Dishwall Field. First game set for 6:30, game 2 tomorrow at 1. Sunday's finale set for a noon first pitch. Softball is going to host the Bevo Classic this morning, starting this morning at McCombs Field. Features the 10th-ranked Longhorns, also 9th-ranked Alabama, Wisconsin, and Texas State in a really good field. Tough news from the NBA yesterday. Word from Phoenix that Kevin Durant is going to be out 2 to 3 weeks because of that left ankle injury he suffered in pregame warm-ups on Wednesday. And in golf, little-known Chad Ramey is your leader after the first round of the Players' Championship at Ponte Vedra Beach. He fired a smooth 8-under 64 yesterday on the tournament course at Sawgrass, a stroke better than Colin Morikawa.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
This says, hey, E, I watched episode 4 last night, too. And rooting for him now. Yeah, Joel Damon.
Big floppy hat.
Yeah, well, he wears that because he had cancer. He had testicular cancer, and his mother died of pancreatic cancer when he was like 18 years old.
I think he wears long sleeves and that hat. He doesn't mess around.
He is an interesting cat, man. He and his that's cool. That's the kind of stuff you love to learn behind the scenes, and you know what you learned in that episode is that he, 10,000 people or so try to qualify for the U.S. Open because it's an open tournament, so they have U.S. Open qualifiers all over the country. Last year at the U.S. Open that Matthew Fitzpatrick won at Brookline, He qualified at a course up in like Idaho, where he's from, to make it. He had to qualify on a 36-hole day of golf, qualified and ended up finishing fourth, which is what makes that tournament so great. It's open to all. You could go qualify for the U.S. Open.
Absolutely. Right?
That's what made the Tin Cup movie so good. And you're telling me a guy went Tin Cup yesterday at the
Dude went 10
players?
Cup. I mean, 3 11? In the water. I mean, take your iron out and at least just get onto the grass.
Come on.
He just tried to hook it around. And
McAvoy?
It wasn't in. Splashdown. Hitting 8, E.
Hitting, oh,
how you like that?
8. Something you never like to hear on a golf
no,
course.
No. You'd already picked up.
Drinking your 8, maybe.
Yeah. Your guys would be saying, pick it up, please.
Hey, let's dive into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. That's avconsultations.com online.
Audiovisual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
All right, a couple people asked who we were talking about with the golfer. Joel Damon. Joel Damon is his name. Hey, how about Rodney Terry last night? Longhorns get a big win. Let's hear from Rodney. It was a defensive effort. They picked it up from the Kansas game where they locked up the Jayhawks for 40 minutes. They did it again last night against an offensively challenged and injured Oklahoma State team, but 47 points, pretty good on defense, and just got enough on offense from guys working hard, including Dylan DeSue. Here's Rodney Terry talking about the big man from Pflugerville and how he's really come on of late for the Longhorns.
DeSue's been playing great for us down the stretch. You know, he really has. And he was rebounding the ball at a very high clip today. And rebounding was a big emphasis in this game here because Oklahoma State's really big up front and they really crashed the board really hard. I thought he did a nice job for us in the first half and had some really tough rebounds in the second half as well. But he needed to get some extended minutes. We knew Brock was going to have to play quite a bit as well. And in CB, this is one of the biggest front lines in the Big 12.
Yeah, big front line.
Yeah, DeSue's very aggressive. He's been aggressive for the last six ball games. He's been getting after it. And I just thought last night with Timmy Allen out, he had more space. There was more space for him.
Timmy Allen, we should say, didn't play, had an ankle injury.
Yeah.
That took a precautionary, coach's decision. But, yeah, it did. It felt like the lane was, because they started Jabari Rice. It was kind of a three-guard lineup to start the game, and they were penetrating. I mean, what I like when I look at the box score, in addition to Dylan DeSue's, hard work and 11-11, double-double, is that, the guards attacked. I mean, Jabari Rice shot six free throws. Marcus Carr shot nine free throws. Tyrese Hunter was getting to the lane in 29 minutes and scored 11 points. I mean, it did feel like it was more open. I like when the guards are shooting free throws. And again, Oak State couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat last night. They were 14 of 52.
They turned it over 20 times. They couldn't bring it up the court.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't even have to guard them. They were going to throw it away. They were trying to inbound the ball into the big men, trying to get those entry passes. I'm like, they're going to throw it away, or somebody's going to come from the weak side and steal the ball. They just struggled to actually bring the ball up the court.
20 turnovers. They went 3 for 21 from 3. They were 14 of 52.
Now, they got to the line a lot because they got fouled. There was a lot. There was a really aggressive play defensively by Texas last night, which was good to see again. And early in the game. I wonder what coach got that technical for.
Rodney got a tech last night?
Yeah, he got a tech last night. There was a young lady calling the game. I mean, I don't know what he said across the court, but he got a tech. He got a tech last night. Now it's weird because that was around that 7-minute range where both teams weren't doing. They both looked a little tired.
Yeah, they both.
And you were waiting for somebody to kind of make a run, but both teams looked a little exhausted there. I mean, as you said, it was a challenging offensive game, but I don't know what he said to get that tech. And it didn't seem like he wasn't very animated on the side over there. I mean, he had another official that was close to him, so I'm wondering what he said for that to get translated from that official to the other official.
All right, so a couple of thoughts here before we get into Texas Pro Day. This says we'll ask Craig Way what Rodney might have said to the official. This says we did not see a Texas hoops team last night that can make a run to the big dance. Too sloppy guard play other than Rice is weak. Well, look, people, we keep saying this. Texas is going to be a 2 overall national seed, which means they're going to play a 15 in round 1, which means they're going to play either a 7 or a 10 in round 2. Texas has beaten the teams they should beat this year.
Right.
The losses they've lost to are going to be our top 15 teams this season. Outside of the loss at Texas Tech, every other team they've lost to has been a really, really good basketball. The Illinois game in New York was a game they shouldn't have lost. But other than that, really, when they get out of this conference and they're playing a 15 seed and then a 10 seed, Texas is going to win those games. Even with the performance, I mean, they're that good. Now, when you say long run, does that mean not past the Sweet 16? I mean, that would be a fair question, because once you get to the Sweet 16 in the second weekend, which Texas hasn't done in a long time, you're going to be facing a better team. But Texas has shown the ability to beat anybody in the country. So that's what I don't understand, where people say that Texas can't make a long run. What do they have to do with 24 wins and wins over Kansas, wins over Gonzaga? I mean, wins over the top teams in the country to suggest that they could make a long run. There's just so
now,
many.
Do they have players that look tired? Yes, they do.
Well, everyone's tired this time of year.
Yeah, Marcus Carr looks tired.
They're healthy for the most part, though, which a lot of other teams aren't.
Well, and look, there are concerns. I'm not saying it's not, and I'm not guaranteeing a long run. I'm just saying when you're a 2 seed and you're playing 15, and then you're going to play 7 or 10, you have a really strong opportunity to play into the next weekend. And once you do, for Texas and for everybody, it's kind of about the draw. What kind of matchup do you get? What kind of team are you facing that you can match up good against versus bad? If the team they face in the Sweet 16 or Elite 8 is a big, big front line, very athletic in the front, they're going to have a hard time.
I like the fact that if Marcus Carr is tired and his elevation isn't there on that jumper of his, and he's not. I mean, he still gets to the free throw line. He makes his free throws, but and he's playing pretty good defense. That means the other guys have to pick it up. I mean, the freshman last night hit 2 3-pointers. He looked like he had room in the middle.
A lot of legs. Well, and yeah. That's, and here's my thing. I'm not arguing. Like, if you weren't with us last hour, I mean, tonight's game to me for Texas. I don't think it is such an outside shot that Texas plays their way to a one seed right now. Right? They're that's going to be a challenge. Now they could beat Oak State or beat TCU tonight. Beat Kansas and maybe, but I still think the committee for me the last couple of years has shown that the regular season is what matters. And the last two times the brackets come out, it's really been built on what happened. It was already set before the conference tournaments were finalized, right? So for Texas, I don't want to say tonight's game doesn't matter. I think winning last night, getting the 12th quad one win, which is second most in the country behind Kansas, puts them firmly on the two line. And here's the thing we were talking about with Marcus Carr. He played 40 minutes last night and went 2 for 10. If I'm Rodney Terry, why don't you let Arturo Morris get more minutes tonight and let Marcus get off his feet a little bit. Give some of the younger guys more minutes, and if you win the game, great. If you don't, you're coming home.
And let Dessou continue to play offensively, really get after it because they need him.
Marcus, the last – I'll look it up, his last 5 games shooting percentage, but as this text says, he's not only missing shots, he's taking bad shots. And that, you know, Mark, the frustrating part for the Longhorns, you finally have Tyrese Hunter playing better and healthy with Jabari Rice. And we've said all year, if you can get those three guards all playing really well at the same time, well, now you're very scary come, you know, tournament time.
Yeah, I didn't think Marcus Carr took bad shots last night. I just thought the ones he took, he just didn't elevate, even at a three-pointer. I mean, they were hitting the bottom of the rim. They weren't arcing over the rim to go in the basket. They were hitting the rim sideways.
He's missing some easy ones, too, at times. And yeah. Shots he's made a lot in the past, which
leads
you back to...
And his floaters. He's not making those floaters.
Yeah, which leads you back to his legs. And is he tired? And he played 40 minutes last night. But I do like that he was aggressive.
Oh, he does.
And he went to the line 9 times, which is, you know, a good possession if you can get to the line and shoot 2 free throws because he's a good free throw shooter. I'll be interested to see how Rodney rotates players tonight, maybe get some of the younger guys more minutes. Dylan Mitchell, Arturo Morris... even, you know, Brock Cunningham and these guys, see if they can get more minutes out of their bench and let the starters get off their feet a little bit. But again, you play to win, I get it, but I don't know that this tournament means much right now for the Longhorns, especially in this conference where they've proven
the pounding,
themselves and the meat grinder that it is. But Horns will play 8:30 tonight. Kansas will play ahead of them against Iowa State, and the third matchup for both in those spots.
Iowa State's playing well. Hell, Kansas will have a battle on their hands, too.
Certainly so. All right, Texas Pro Day, Buck. By the way, that game 8:30 tonight, you'll hear it. We've got Texas baseball tonight, 6:30 with Manhattan. The Jaspers are in town. And we also have UT football practice this morning. They went through their third workout this morning. We'll hear from Steve Sarkisian afterwards. So we'll certainly have a full review of that coming up on Monday, and certainly in the afternoon shows we'll have it here on the Horn. But 32 teams were represented yesterday, Buck. And we know that Roschon Johnson, DeMarvion Overshown, Keandre Coburn, and Moore Ojemo worked out yesterday, just a few days after they worked out at the combine. Bijan Robinson did not go through physical testing, but was on hand to talk to teams. And then there was Jaleel Billingsley, Anthony Cook, Deshaun Jameson, Tariq Milton, and Daniel Trejo. Those were the 5 other longs. So 10 total went through the testing. And, you know, we talked about Jaleel Billingsley had a great, you know, athletic workout. He ran 4.52, you know, did a big vertical jump and showed why people like Jaleel Billingsley, right? Whether he was at Alabama or Texas, but he just didn't have any tape, Buck. Didn't play. You got to play. I mean, you can be an athletic freak, but you got to be able to play. And that's good. You know, I heard Rod and those guys saying it yesterday. I think this performance yesterday maybe gets you invited to a camp, give you an opportunity, just because he's a physical freak. But, you know, once he gets there, he's going to have to show it for sure. But Keandre Coburn, his best at part was a 4.77 short shuttle. Anthony Cook, who didn't get to go to the combine, showed the athleticism you like. He was 4.59 in the 40. His short shuttle of 4.27 is really, really impressive. Broad jump 10.5, 34-inch. And I know you liked Anthony Cook, number 11 last year, Buck. A really good, heady player who also may have earned himself a spot at a training camp, at least a tryout, an opportunity to make to go to training camp.
Does it have a weight on him? Is he a 185 or 190?
I didn't see that. I'll look it up. Deshaun Jameson also worked out and showed, you know, 4.48 speed. I was surprised Roschon did not run another 40. He didn't want to mess around with it. He's going to live with what he posted at the combine, which is 4.58. And Roschon doing his thing. And we told you yesterday, Roschon's already been meeting with teams and had an individual meeting with the Cowboys. Also said he's had formal meetings with the Falcons and Philadelphia Eagles. We talked about the Eagles with Bijan. What about the Eagles with Roschon? But there you go. The teams meet with everybody. So there you go. This guy says, softball has a top 10 matchup. That's right. Yeah, they play Alabama this afternoon. Get out there first. You love your fast-pitch softball? Texas women will play Alabama today, 9 versus 10 at Macomb Field. That's part of a nice tournament they're having over there. Alabama, Texas,
it's
Texas
a weekend
State,
tournament, right?
Texas State, who's really good, and Wisconsin out of the Big Ten. That'll be all weekend long, yeah. Schedule at texassports.com. And can I say we should have said it on a Buck Off Thursday yesterday, Buck On too. The greatest player in Longhorn softball history, Kat Osterman, has had a baby this week.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes. Kat and her husband have had a child. JC is her name. And
very nice.
She's already being recruited by Mike White to play at Texas.
I would say so.
Already has an offer.
Get there early.
Already has
Real
an offer.
Real early.
There we go. Okay, so we'll, and we obviously, this says CJ Baxter. Looks like Eric Dickerson. Come on now. Yeah, Cedric Baxter is going by CJ.
He
has the same hairdo as Bijan.
He's kind of copying Bijan's.
It's like a mini whatever, okay. Whatever you call that hair. It looks cool.
Hey, man, it works for Bijan.
Got that Eric Dickerson. He'll learn to get down a little bit.
Can I tell you about the dream I had last night? And I think it's a dream I had early this morning. It involves Bijan Robinson.
Oh.
Yeah, I was dreaming about Bijan, but I'll tell you what it was. Not that way. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. We'll also have Hot or Not for the end of the hour. Talk more football free agency looming in the National Football League. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Getting after it on a Friday morning. He said he had some Bijanese on his dreams last night. No. What this dream I had last night? Because I'm obsessed with the NFL draft. And now, by the way, if you go to PFF, Pro Football Focus, they have a mock draft simulator where you can go through mock drafts for your favorite team. It's a lot of fun. They do a pretty good job. It's really easy to do. And so you kind of can – it really is interesting to see who's going to be where and kind of what round or what the predicted – you never know. Everything's a gamble. But Cowboys at 26. But then what their second-round pick could look like, who might be available. Third-round pick, who might be available. And where to – slot positions, but it's fun. So I was doing some of those yesterday, and then so last night I have this dream that the Kansas City Chiefs traded up with the Texans at 12 to draft Bijan Robinson. Buck, could you imagine? Now, they probably won't do that because they have the kid Pacheco and some backs, but that wouldn't that be like an Andy Reid move? Just say, I already got my homies.
I like going to the Super Bowl.
I like going to the Super Bowl. I might lose my left tackle, Orlando Brown. So
I'll find another.
Because like, quite honestly, if the Chiefs were to trade up with somebody like Houston or anybody in the middle of the round, they would probably come up to take a tackle. Because Orlando Brown, Zeus Brown's about to be off to the free agent market here come Wednesday or Monday. And so, but yeah, to take Bijan, and it was like, oh man, Patrick Mahomes, Bijan, come on now, that ain't fair. But that was a little bit of my dream last night. But
hey,
I don't
neither
think
is Jalen Hurts, Bijan. That's not fair either.
No. Well, they can take him at 10 if they want to. But Bijan was at Pro Day yesterday, not working out. This says, hey, Buck On, in addition to the Buck On to the first professional paintball tournament of the year starting today. Austin now has a pro team making their debut.
Congratulations.
Paintball. You ever done that?
No.
Ty?
Oh,
yeah. You're a big paintballer. I can tell.
Yeah, as a little kid, I would put the balls in the freezer. And then you put them in the
paintball. Come on. Oh. You're one of those?
Oh, that stings.
Yeah, it makes it more realistic.
Why? Of somebody dying, getting shot?
Oh, you got it. I mean, we had protective equipment on, of course. Oh.
You put them in the freezer?
Yeah.
What was that for?
Dude, you're a scoundrel.
So it hurt?
Yeah, it leaves a mark.
Oh.
It leaves a mark without him being frozen like a eye block of ice. Come on, man. You're a scoundrel that way. That's not. Did your buddies know that?
Yeah, they did it too.
Well, they did it too. Okay, so everybody's competing on the same.
There were some wimps, though, that complained.
There were some complainers.
There's always those kids.
There's always those kids, you bully. Okay, so we've got a lot out there. Talking Texas hoops, they're going to play TCU tonight. Also, last hour, we had a good debate about Lamar Jackson v. Aaron Rodgers and who the Jets should be pursuing. That's a big debate right now in the Big Apple. Can I just say that to wrap up that conversation? And let's just go with facts, right? So Lamar Jackson, 2019-2020, had two incredible seasons. Like put together, as far as combining two seasons for a quarterback, two of the best ever in the National Football League. In In 2019 and 2020, Lamar Jackson led the Ravens to a 24-6 record. In those two seasons, he threw for almost 6,000 yards, completed 65% of his passes, threw 62 touchdowns, ran for 2,250 yards and 14 touchdowns, so amassed 76 touchdowns over two seasons.
Video game,
right? And that was with a fully loaded Ravens team. Now, in the playoffs, he's 1-3 in the playoffs, three times. He's been to four playoff games, he's won one of them. And that is a knock. That's a fair fact. That is a knock against Lamar Jackson. One playoff win in four tries. But, okay, then 2021 and 22, he only started 12 games in each season, so 24 games started.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmerman dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
On a depleted and injury-riddled team, we'd have to add that, correct, that the Ravens were just ravaged by injuries in 2021 and, again, had some key injuries this year. In those seasons, he completed 63% of his passes, went 15-9, 5,000 passing yards, 33 touchdowns, ran for 1,531 yards. He also had his interceptions go up, and his sacks went up over those two seasons. So, again, those are the facts, right? Two historically great seasons followed by two mediocre seasons, and that's where the question becomes how much of that was about injuries and his team and the roster and him, and then, you know, how much of it is about
1,500 Lamar Jackson. Rushing.
Well, so those are his 4 years, right? His 4 years total. Two great years, two average years. And he's coming off of two average years. And so that's where the conversation begins. But then you compare that to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers won back-to-back MVPs, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Then lost in the playoffs to the 49ers twice. Didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And then this year, on a young, injury-riddled team without a lot of weapons, didn't have a great season, did he?
No.
So, again, you can put Aaron Rodgers in the same conversation as Lamar Jackson. When you don't have the people around you and you're a little bit banged up yourself, the numbers come down, even for the great Aaron Rodgers. So that leads to the question of, if you're the New York Jets, should you be pursuing a big contract and a trade for Aaron Rodgers, or should you be pursuing a big contract and a trade for a 26-year-old
Aaron Rodgers
Lamar
is getting
Jackson?
A big contract no matter where he goes, correct?
I'd love the debate because I could argue both ways. That I see Woody Johnson and Robert Saleh coveting Aaron Rodgers because he's 39. If he's healthy with the weapons they have, he could be the missing piece. He could be their Matt Stafford. But is he going to beat Josh Allen?
But is he going? Year? Is he going? Are they getting to the Super Bowl?
Right. And with Lamar Jackson, you got 10 more years of that potential.
So figure out if they're getting to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, obviously we've been on the Lamar Jackson story this week, but I'm just been really amazed by the negativity towards Lamar Jackson that he's not any good. Like, I'm not saying he's worth a guaranteed $240 million contract. I'm not arguing that. I also argue
and
that
that's the problem. It's all about guaranteed money.
Correct. But, you know, just because he's asking for it doesn't mean he's going to get it. I think the Ravens have already done that, and they're letting the market set the market for Lamar Jackson.
And that's where he'll end up again.
Right, most likely. But I've been surprised how little people think of Lamar Jackson. I think they forget just how great he was when he was healthy, when they had a full complement of people around him, and when the Ravens arguably were one of the three best teams in the league. Remember, 2019, they were blowing everybody out throughout the course of the year. But look,
they not only struggled on offense, they struggled on defense with guys getting hurt too. They didn't just have offensive problems.
And you remember on this show 3 months ago, I said, Buck, keep an eye on this Lamar Jackson thing because it feels like it's getting acrimonious between he and the front office because he doesn't have his contract. And I said, don't be surprised if they don't let him get to the free agent market, or at least as what he is.
And then they reel him back.
And I don't think it's out of the question that the Ravens let him go if somebody comes in and gives him a big contract. And because, again, the Ravens have holes to fill. I mean, they don't have weapons on the outside. They don't have a great defense like they once did. They've got issues in their back end. They've gotten expensive in some of their key guys. If they want to chase the Chiefs and the Bengals and the Bills and the AFC, they have holes to fill. And just bringing back Lamar Jackson on a huge contract is not going to fix that. But obviously they have to have an answer what they're going to do at QB. But, I just think that the fact that the Jets are in on Aaron Rodgers and not on Lamar Jackson is an interesting conversation. Of why aren't they? If you're in on Aaron Rodgers at 39, why aren't you in on Lamar Jackson at 26?
And like I said, I may be wrong thinking that Aaron Rodgers is just a two-year player and done. That's about the length of mentally that he'll be playing football from this point on. But I may be totally wrong. Maybe that dude wants to be Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Maybe Aaron Rodgers, you know, with the shrooms and everything that he's on and all the stuff that he's doing, maybe he can play 5 or 6 more years. I only see him as a year-to-year problem, a year-to-year pain in the ass.
I agree with that. And maybe they – because you say he may play 5 more years. He may retire next year.
That's what I mean, yeah.
After a darkness retreat that tells him where to go.
Or he could be there 3 years from now, and the team may be building around Aaron Rodgers.
Because as you said earlier, if it's Woody Johnson, the owner, driving this, and it's for, you know, media coverage,
I'm going to sell, more jerseys. It's about I want to be known in the paper a lot more than the Giants. I'm sick of hearing about their coach, and I'm sick of hearing about what they're paying Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. I'm the Jets. I need to be in the forefront in New York. You know what I mean? Those guys have those egos that Woody Johnson has his ego. You know, as you saw with Brett Favre. I mean, there's the egos here to play too.
Says because Aaron Rodgers can throw the ball more than 8 yards down the field. Over a two-season period from 2019 to 2020, Lamar Jackson threw 62 touchdown passes. He led the NFL in touchdown passes.
I think they might be referring to Zach Wilson.
Oh, well, and I don't think so. I think that's a Lamar Jackson knock that he can't throw. Again, the numbers would clearly show you that with good weapons around him and good personnel, he can throw the football. Not he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't.
My knock on him is his greatest strength is the fact that. Dude, you're running around in the NFL the way you run. You're not built, and you're you're not built like the guy from Philly. You're not built like Jalen Hurts. You're built like a wide receiver, and you're running around taking on guys and thinking you can outrun them. And they catch up to him, and they slam his ass to the ground.
That's a very fair argument, without a doubt, that he's just not going to last the long haul. And we'll see. I won't agree with the fact that he
effective
can't throw.
Now, and
I
he's
won't
effective.
Agree with the fact that he can't throw.
And the more they play games, the more they lengthen these seasons out and not bring them – they're not bringing them down. They're lengthening them out. The more I worry about Lamar, I don't worry about him throwing. He's gotten better every year. He's getting better at that. And you surround him with the right people, I think he's fine. And he is effective as a runner, but his greatest skill will be his greatest detriment, E, when he's not there for you in the playoffs.
Interesting. It says to you, Ty, he says where did this go? Freezing paintballs will get you banned from any course in the world. It's extremely dangerous since the gear is not made for rocks.
Yeah, this wasn't
is screwed up.
This wasn't on a course. This is in the green belt.
It's in the back in the green belt in the backyard.
In the backyard. I know it's dangerous. I was also like 10 years old.
The things we do in our youth. Did you know that when I was working at the ranch in Wyoming, Buck, on the 4th of July,
You did enough dangerous stuff there.
We did some dangerous things there. We were not smart. But we used to have what are the fireworks that they go like missiles? Not the candles. Not Roman candles, but like the bottle rockets.
Bottle rockets.
So we used to have bottle rocket fights in the woods at Wyoming when it would get dark on the 4th of July-ish. And
dust
there.
You in the forest fires.
So you get a pipe. And
you guys shooting right at each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you're wearing goggles and you're wearing big, heavy. It's cold.
Get your chaps
on. Cold
in
the mountains on the 4th of July. Well, if you wanted to.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, bottle rocket fights, always good. This says E auditioning to be Lamar Jackson's agent. Well, look, you know, if you listen to the show, I like to be factual, and those are the facts on Lamar Jackson. You can argue both sides of him, but you can't just come in and say he can't throw. That's wrong. That is completely unfair to the player.
Well, the last 2 years.
Well, Aaron Rodgers last year, is it fair to cite his weapons and lack of them? Is it fair to cite that he didn't have anybody to throw to? I guess not.
I want to get it out there that I'm not hating. Like, I think Lamar Jackson is good, but when you watch him throw the ball,
it doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers. That's right.
Yes.
That's correct. I won't disagree with you. Their throwing styles are different. Aaron Rodgers is maybe the purest and best thrower of the football of all time. Lamar Jackson has a bit of a...
And so are both of their running styles.
But the numbers would tell you he can throw. And if you can say for Aaron Rodgers, last year's numbers being way down were about lack of weapons, I argue the same thing for Lamar Jackson.
His thumb injury.
If your best receiver, as much as I love the guy, is Devin Duvernay, he's your best receiver. Okay, Devin's a good player. He made the Pro Bowl as a kick returner. He's a self-made player because he got very little coaching here at Texas while he was here. But if he's your best weapon, Mark Andrews is your best weapon. But if he's your best receiver, come on, man. I mean, we make excuses for Aaron Rodgers because he's throwing to no more Devontae Smith. You got to be fair with both sides of that. We'll be back. Let's load up the hot or not. It'll be our man Ty leading us through some topics we've missed halfway through this Friday show. Also got a little daylight savings time reminder in there. Academy Awards are coming. It's B&E on the Horn.
What's hot? And what's not?
What's Hot, What's Not is brought to you by Texas Orthopedics, the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. Visit us at txortho.com to learn more and to schedule an appointment.
Hot Not, hey, tomorrow, Buck, our friend Colonel Craig Flowers on the high ground.
Yes, sir.
At 10 o'clock tomorrow, right after the Big Ugly Tailgate with Casey and Johnny. They're going to have Keith DeSormo on the high ground.
Oh, Kent DeSormo?
Keith, his brother.
Oh, Keith is going to be
Kent DeSormo is the jockey. Keith is the trainer for the Horse Confidence Game, which has moved into number 4 on the NTRA top 3 rankings, bound for the Kentucky Derby in 2 months.
Let's see if he races in Louisiana Derby.
Yeah, we'll learn more about that. So, Keith DeSormo, if you're into that whole confidence game, don't tell my wife Stables conversation we've had with
Buy
Colonel.
Buy into it, make some cash.
Yeah, I mean, the America's horse, or the people's horse, as Colonel calls it.
Yes.
The people's horse. So you can listen tomorrow, 10 o'clock. They'll have Keith DeSormo on. He trains those horses, and he helps. Remember, the guys, Colonel and all his buddies from TCU who got into this, they'll know a lot about horse racing, but Keith DeSormo's their guy. He helps them find the you know, remember, they spent $30,000 on this horse. Confidence game.
And realize if that horse wins, happens to win the Kentucky Derby, you know what it is per shot, if you know what I mean. You know, bang, bang, bang. It's like 150,000 per bang, bang.
Learn more about that. Of course, in addition to our entire Saturday morning lineup with the playing through and the Big Ugly Tailgate.
How often can a horse go there?
What do you mean?
Because Nunley just once a week. Nunley was once a week, right? Friday nights.
Are you talking about the Jack Donkey at the ranch? I mean, I don't know. How often he could go? He only worked on Friday nights.
It had to be at night
during the
nights when everybody's away. When everybody was away,
yeah,
he's a quite noisy guy.
Quite noisy. I don't know how many
actual per day
Nick Cannons that the horse
cannons
can produce. Also, in Hot or Not, we keep telling you this. You know this story with the Pac-12 falling apart and the Big 12 going after the Four Corners schools. It's getting more and more mainstream now. Dennis Dodd, who's up at the Big 12 basketball tournament in Kansas City, the lead college football writer for CBS Sports, has a story. And in the headline, Big 12 readies to pounce on Four Corner schools as doubt creeps in about Pac-12 viability. Mm. And in his story, he says, as we've told you, that Brett Yormark has been in pretty constant conversation with Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. There have been weekly conversations between the Big 12 and those four programs. If talks have heated up, there was a big Board of Regents meeting this week at Colorado. Pac-12 does not have a deal, and they put everything on pause. So again, continue to keep an eye on that. I think if you're the Big 12 with Texas and Oklahoma leaving in 2024, you'd like to add whichever schools you're going to add in 2024. Right, you'd like to go ahead and
For sure.
You know, when Texas and OU leave, instead of being a 12-team conference, you become a 14 or 16-team conference. So keep an eye on that.
They're going to know that before that time comes.
Oh, for sure, it all lines up to that for sure. Because if the Big 12 could get to 16, SEC's at 16, Big 10 is at 16. Oh yeah. T.Y., what do you have for us in Hot or Not, my friend?
Well, it's official. Aaron Rodgers has announced his next move, but it's not related to football. He will be speaking at the 2023 Psychedelic Science Convention in Denver, Colorado, with a whole panel of experts.
Really?
Like himself.
Can't wait to get my ticket.
And they're expecting around 10,000 attendees. So
Psychedelic Science Convention?
Yes. The largest gathering in history.
And you guys want this guy as your quarterback over Lamar Jackson? Really?
He knows something.
39, speaking at the Psychedelic Science Convention. Can this guy just go ahead and get married or something? What the heck? He needs a wife to tell him what to do.
Dude's going
to
become a professor.
Professor of what, psychedelics?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hey, don't do all the drugs, Aaron.
Do them all. Under the safe counsel of a doctor, but do them all.
Yes.
We'll be back. B&E with you. Reset those headlines. Longhorns into the semifinals at the Big 12 tournament. They can punch their ticket to the finals with a win tonight. We'll preview their matchup with TCU. That's coming up next on B&E.